Hello, and welcome to episode 57 of the Live to Walk Again podcast. My name is Jeremy Dixon. Here with me, as usual, Brandon Stevens. Brandon, say hello to the people.
Jay, what's going on?
What's up, man?
It's the Live to Walk Again podcast, and I'm here. Are you good today?
I'm good.
All right, man.
What?
I just feel maybe something might be bothering you.
No, I'm good.
You good?
I'm feeling great.
How are you feeling about the rain?
Yeah. A couple days of rain in the summer is all right.
Yeah. It gives you that. Yeah, it is cleansing. That's what we need. We need a good cleansing every once in a while.
Well, Brandon, people can listen to this podcast anywhere that they, any podcast platform. Rate it. You can review it.
You should.
Yeah, you can do that. I know on Apple Podcasts, there's a few other places you can do that as well.
Five stars only for illustrious guests.
Some people, I know some platforms you can only subscribe, but we appreciate that. Whatever word of mouth you can give, we definitely would appreciate it. So,
spread the message. Yeah. I mean, it's all about finding a cure for paralysis.
We're trying to cure paralysis, for God's sakes.
God dang it, yeah. But this week, what do you got going on for us, man?
Oh, man, I got the legendary Brittany Davis. She's
an icon.
A paraclimber.
Yeah.
She was injured in a climbing accident, and...
That's a wild sport, man.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially are... I don't even know. I can't really, like... It's like almost like I can't... I can only empathize with being... With you being a quadriplegic. Like, right. I can only empathize with what's going on inside people that, like, do rock climbing.
Yeah, I mean...
And just, like, the risk that you're taking.
It's definitely a ballsy sport, man.
Yeah.
But they, she's actually on the U.S. On the U.S. paraclimbing team. They're not able to be in the Paralympics yet. They're trying to, she said she's working on trying to get that sport approved, I guess, for in the not too distant future for, you know, whenever the Paralympics are back. I don't know if they go every 4 years. Just like the regular Olympics do. I believe they do, though. So hopefully the next round they'll be able to get the paraclimbing.
She talk about how her injury happened?
Yeah, she was, like, doing route setting. And she thought she was... I mean, I'll let her tell the story. She was climbing when she got hurt.
And this was, like, was this without a rope, or...?
She, like, didn't have... She thought she had something attached that wasn't or something.
Dang.
And,
have you ever watched that Free Solo with Alex Hanold?
The guy who
free soloed El Capitan in Yosemite.
Right, I did see that.
Man,
at least most of it.
There's these people are,
yeah,
one of a kind. I
think she was working in a gym, like a rock climbing gym, when she got hurt.
Just practicing, and
I believe that a lot of the I think a lot of the paraclimbers, they do it. Indoor, they're not out climbing,
obviously,
like climbing mountains like that. So,
I mean, I'm sure that there are some ways to do it, but it's probably much easier to bring all your gear and all the things you need all in one. I mean, indoor climbing's much easier for everybody,
absolutely.
I hear it's a very addicting thing,
I mean, I'm sure it's such a crazy adrenaline rush.
Yeah, I'm not quite strong enough yet to do that. I'm making excuses right now, but, you know, like big feet and big hands and just like scrawny arms. I respect the hell out of rock climbers, man.
Yeah. It's definitely a hardcore sport, man. They're not messing around. We have that interview coming up. She was very, very cool. I was happy to find that we've been trying to connect for a while now, and finally made it happen. It's funny because she was on, she was doing a Twitch stream while we were recording the interview, and we couldn't get her video to work, but my video, we were doing it through Zoom, and my video was working, and she was like reading off some some of the comments on her Twitch, and she's like, no, that's not the guy from The Office. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, did somebody like either confuse me for John Krasinski, which I'm like, cool, man. Like, you, like, decent looking guy. Like, that's cool. But then I'm like, I don't think that's who they were talking about.
I know there's
some weird looking guys on that show. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Are we talking about the dude that wears like the white shirt and the red tie right now?
Thinks I don't know. I never really watched that show, but I like know who the, you know, I don't know the characters, but I know I've like seen them. So anyway, shout out to that Twitch user that I don't
know. Man, she's a gamer.
Oh, man, I think so. I'm not.
You didn't ask. Sure. Well, she was on Twitch,
yeah,
huh?
She's on Twitch. I'm sure she is. So.
Dang. So yeah, that's messed up, man. That's live on the podcast.
No, that was.
Oh man, we need that in there.
She just read it off. It wasn't like somebody didn't like ask it out loud or anything. But I was like, damn, that's.
We're going to have to post a picture of the guy from The Office, Jay.
I need to find out if do I you look know? Like that guy. I'm just going to put all the people up there and be like, which one? Do I look like any of these people? Because I don't think I do. Anyway, so Brandon, I had the most horrible shower of my life the other night. People don't know, I get out of my wheelchair and into a shower chair to take a shower.
Yeah.
Not able to do it every single day. I do it, you know, a few times a week. So when I get in there, I stay in there till the water is all the way cold. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, because you're going to maximize your shower.
Absolutely. So I'm in there. I have like
just let the water run over your head.
Set up.
Yeah.
I'm just laying in the water. I have my iPad set up so I can watch the Blazers game.
Facts.
And, you know, NBA playoffs just started. I wanted to watch the game. I'm watching it. I like stick my head out from under the water and just see something fly by all of a sudden, like into my bathroom, from my bedroom into bathroom, up like into the corner.
Like just like out of your peripherals?
Out of my peripheral. I was just like, what?
You thought you were tripping or something?
I was at first. Well, I know there was like this big ass like fly or bee like zooming around for a while. And I'm like, what
was But it was bigger than that.
I would just, yeah, what? I had to have been. Okay. And I was like, what the hell? And so I told my caregiver, Patty, that was here helping me. I was like, something's up in that corner over there. And she's like, really? I didn't see anything. And I was like, I saw something. She goes up and like touches, I have some baskets like up above my closet that just has, you know, some random stuff in it. And she like pushes on one of the baskets and you hear this little like squeal.
Oh no.
I was like,
what the hell is it?
Oh my God. And it's hot as hell in the house. So yeah. I have like, everything's like wide open. And
yeah,
I'm
the fans
like, oh,
are
man.
Going.
Yeah,
the windows are open.
Like, damn, I'm like, should I close this? Like, shower curtain's open too. So I'm like, oh man, should I close the shower curtain? But there's like a 6-inch gap above the shower curtain.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what if this thing flies up over this
and
thing?
And then it's trapped
in
with
here.
It?
Like, no way. And so anyway, and then so she's like, oh my God, it's a bat.
No. Oh, dude, these nasty things.
And so, yeah, she's like, I'm going to go get some. I'm just like, are you going to kill it? Because what are we going to do right now? And she's like, I'm not killing a bat. And I was like, well, how are you going to get it out of here? She goes and looking for something to, like, get this thing out of my bathroom. And I'm just watching this thing, like, full
I have wing. To say, I've never been, like, face-to-face with a bat.
I mean, this is the start of the goddamn coronavirus,
dang,
Brandon.
Dude.
And so I'm watching this bat like crawl from basket to basket up in like wingspan all the way out. Just I was freaking the fuck out. And finally it stopped.
The water's still on and
yes,
going?
Yes, I'm just like watching this thing like, please don't come over here. And she comes back and I'm like, it's in that last basket. And so she just like
put something over the top of it
no,
or something.
No, she didn't. She just like picked the basket up and slowly walked it through the house and got it outside and then it flew off.
Dude, you dodged a bullet.
That was not a fun experience.
You dodged a rabies shot.
Dodged the coronavirus, maybe. I feel like, man. Who knows?
Some sort of disease, those things. Jeez. You have a lot of bats around here because you live by the lake.
I know. I was just telling, I just got new neighbors. I was just telling them about how sometimes at night, like when we were kids, we would be out there swimming. You could see that, like, if we go swimming at night, you could see the bats, like, dive bombing the bugs or whatever. It was
yeah.
pretty crazy.
Yeah, you can.
It's a pretty crazy scene.
I remember when we were kids, we used to go out on the dock and throw things up in there and watch them dive bomb that.
Yeah, I remember that
too. Now they're up in your house dive bombing your head.
Man, I was not having that. I was like having nightmares about bats for like 2 days after that.
Make sure there wasn't any more in there. You're like having people check corners.
Yeah, exactly. Every time I like heard something, like, oh, what was that?
That's wild.
Oh man, it was crazy. So anyway, that was my week. That was my excitement for the week.
Dang.
But anyway, let's get to this Brittany Davis interview, and we'll talk to you guys on the other side. Okay, this week on the Live to Walk Again podcast, we have the pleasure of speaking with Brittany Davis, who is a U.S. competitive paraclimber and a climbing instructor. And Brittany, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad we could finally make this happen. I know we've been kind of going back and forth on social media for a month or two now. I didn't even know about paraclimbing prior to this interview. So I'm pretty, or climbing in general, really. So I'm pretty intrigued. Let's start out. Can you just kind of tell us what exactly happened? I know you were injured in 2017. Can you kind of go down that, that process, what exactly happened and how you were injured and all of that?
Yeah, totally. So I was working in the climbing gym. I was a route setter. So I'm the person that like puts the stuff up on the walls for people to climb. And I was doing that and I got to the top of the wall and thought that I had a piece of safety gear on that was not there. Just because of like a slight split second distraction from another person. And I thought I was attached to it and I wasn't. I got to the top of the wall like 30-ish feet up and jumped back thinking that safety piece was there, and it wasn't. So I fell like 30 plus feet and broke my back. My L1 exploded and sent a couple of bone shards into my spinal cord, and I also broke my wrist like super bad. Like bones came out and whatnot.
Oh my gosh. So this actually happened in the climbing gym and not out like in...
Yeah, no, it was a work accident, so like a construction type of accident, because that's technically what the type of job was a construction job. It was just like a creative one. It happened in the gym and not outside.
Oh, wow. So you couldn't feel your legs at that point, you couldn't move your lower body, like what? How did you get that back? Because you're able to move pretty freely now, is that right?
Yeah. So when I first woke up from everything, my lower body was like pretty paralyzed. I could still, I think all that I could move honestly was my left foot. And then over the next few days, like the other part of the stuff started waking up a little bit, and then I was able to, like, my right side woke up a little bit faster than my left side did. So I was able to start like moving my hip flexors and quad and stuff like that on my right leg pretty quickly. And then the left side has always just been a struggle since then. And I'm still like both of my calves are still pretty paralyzed on both sides. But other than that, my right side is pretty able. And my left side, like from my hip down, like the back side of the leg is still pretty paralyzed, but I'm able to do quite a bit with it still.
Wow.
I just can't feel it.
Yeah. How that was going to be my next question is like, do you have any like dead zones down there that you can't feel?
Like my hamstrings are pretty dead. Like I didn't realize it until I was getting some needles poked in me one day. I was like, oh, I can't feel that at all.
Wow.
I think my hamstrings and my glute is probably the most like sensation wise that I can't feel. And my foot, like I can't feel hot or cold with my left foot. So yeah.
Gotcha. So how long were you in rehab
for after, I guess, after the accident, how much time did you spend in the hospital?
I was in inpatient rehab for about a month, I think. I think it might have been a month and a half. I don't know. It's kind of, that time frame is kind of fuzzy for me because of all the drugs that they had me on and stuff. Right. But I know that it was at least a month. And then after that, like, you know, you come home and they started me on physical therapy, but my physical therapist that they had given me, like, didn't really know what a spinal cord injury was, so she didn't really help me too much. And luckily I found a specific like neuro training center and I worked with them for like the next 2.5 years just recently when I moved at the beginning of the year.
Oh, wow. That's good fortune that you had a place like that so close to you that you were able to work with. That's pretty great.
Yeah. It's like the one thing that I recommend to people, like, is that getting into a neuro training center as soon as possible, because I definitely don't think that I would have gotten as much back if it wasn't for them.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing, like up here, we're in Western Washington here. So that's kind of what the focus of like our podcast and the foundation is. We're trying to get something like that brought in up here. For people to work with, because I know they have them all over the country. And seems like they're pretty amazing, spots to be able to work out and work with people that are trained in that specific, you know, to deal with people with spinal cord injuries. So, how long had you been climbing, prior to your accident, Brittany?
I had been climbing close to 8 or 9 years before my accident.
Wow. Were you a competitive climber at that point? Before you're
not on the scale that I am now. I an able-bodied competitive climber, you have to start pretty young these days. And I didn't find climbing until I was in college, like at the very beginning stages of college. So, but luckily with paraclimbing, like, you can get into it at any point. So,
okay.
As soon as I found out about it, I got involved with it.
Very cool. How long after, your accident were you able to get into the paraclimbing community and start competing? I mean, I guess even just back to climbing before competing. So I'm sure you had to work your way back into it.
So I had my spinal fusion and I wasn't allowed to lift anything more than like 20, 30 pounds for like an entire year. So I didn't get to climb until they cleared me, even though I wanted to before then. So I went a whole year without climbing, lost like all of my muscle and everything in my upper body. But I honestly had joined an adaptive climbing team before I was even allowed to climb, because I wanted to get involved. Like, I wanted to be involved in something with other people that were disabled and stuff, because I was new to the community and everything. And so, I wanted to meet other people, who were like me. So yeah, I had been back climbing for like 3 months before I did my first competition.
That's awesome. Yeah. Where do they have, like, I guess, where do you train? Where do you, compete? Like, I have like no idea about climbing or paraclimbing, but I'm very fascinated by it. Just getting ready for this interview, so.
There are different adaptive climbing programs throughout the country. I'm in one. There's not one that's in the Southeast. There is one that's like based out of like Boston and New York. I'm a part of their team, but we really only get to see each other whenever we go to competitions. And it's really just specific gyms that decide that they want to host an adaptive climbing competition, and it involves some travel because there's really not that many people setting up adaptive competitions right now, because it is a little bit more work and things like that, and you have to be extra safe and whatnot. So it's just a little bit more of a situation that I think most climbing gyms aren't prepared for yet, but all of these adaptive programs throughout the country are trying to spread awareness and whatnot, and getting more of those programs established in pretty much all gyms. So, But the competitions, nationals is hosted once a year, and you can find that stuff on the USA Climbing website.
Oh, very cool. And so, yeah, when do you, I guess, so the, are you competing in the Paralympics then as a member of the U.S. competitive climbing team, or how does that work?
So climbing is not in the Paralympics yet. We are working on getting it into the Paralympics, but that will probably won't be for another like 8 years, most likely, because it's a very long process. And climbing is just now getting into the Olympics. It was supposed to be for this, the 2020 Olympics, but you know, that's not happening right now. So it's a bit of a process, but I'm part of the, so there are international competitions. So you know how there's the US, like, or there's the Paralympics, that's one organization,
right?
Right. And then like all of these individual sports have their own organization. So in the United States, there's USA Climbing, and that governs all of the competitions going on or whatever. At least all of the sanctioned events. And then worldwide, there's an organization called the IFSC, which is the International Federation of Sport Climbing, and they host competitions year-round for able-bodied and for paraclimbers. So I compete for the U.S. in the international competitions.
Gotcha, gotcha. And so the international competitions, you they just have them all over the world at different locations then, or are they
just— Yeah, they have them. They have them a few times a year, at least. And then they have a world championships once a year. And so that's what I have competed in the past 2 years up until this one, because it got canceled. So the first year it was in Austria, and then last year it was in France.
Oh, that's so cool. So how did you do in the two world championships?
The first world championships, I'd only been back climbing for like 6 months, and I finished eighth in the world. And then this past year, I finished fifth. I made it to finals, but then I bombed in finals. So
that's awesome, though. I mean, to be, you know, that close still to your injury and doing so much, you know, doing so well, that's really amazing.
Yeah, the climbing, the cat, so you climb in, hi, Maximus. So the categories that you climb in are in your similar disability categories. So there's like upper amputees that climb all in a few categories, and there's lower amputees that climb in a few categories. And then there's the visually impaired categories, and then there's mine, which is neuro or range of power, and that could be anything from a spinal cord injury to someone that had scoliosis and has like most of their spine fused, someone with MS, someone with Ehlers-Danlos, like all of these neuro situations lumped together. So it makes it kind of I don't want to say unfair, because the person that's won the last 2 years, she only has the use of one of her legs, and she is insane. She's crushed everything. But it is a little bit more of a difficult category, because you're going up against people that do have a lot of function in their lower body compared to some of the other injury, like some of the other disabilities that are in that same category.
Yeah, that was good. That's interesting. Really interesting. I was going to ask you about, like, 'cause I'm sure you have to have like great upper body strength to do rock climbing and do this sort of competition. But yeah, like, how do you get by? That was going to be the question, was how do you get by with your legs being a little weaker? Is it, or do you just work way more on your upper body to try to have more strength in your upper body, or what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, you end up getting like very, very strong in your upper body. It's so climbing is, it already is like upper body extensive, but without the use of your legs as much, it's a little bit more about like, you learn a little bit more positioning, like where to put this part of your body so that you can stay balanced. Because there's like all of this stuff whenever you climb, where like you're really just kind of focusing on where your center of balance is so that you don't slip, type of thing.
Right.
So I end up climbing with mostly my right leg. My left leg just kind of like hangs out behind me, but I can use it sometimes. It just depends.
I see. So are there other people then, other competitors that, I know you said you mainly climb with a team out of like New York and Boston area. Is there anybody in your general vicinity that does this as well that you're able to kind of train with, or are you just on your own?
For the most part, I'm pretty much on my own. At least, especially now, because we just moved at the beginning of the year to a new state, and the gym isn't even open yet. So it's pretty much just me. But I mean, it's all right. When I climb with other people, it's fun, but I am not as focused. So it makes training a little bit more difficult whenever, like, because for training purposes, you need to focus on what you're trying to do and not get distracted by doing the fun things. So.
Right. I completely understand. Well, yeah, I can't wait to, until all this COVID stuff is over so we can keep an eye on you on, in the next World Championships and all that. And hopefully you can take out that lady that has gotten you the last couple years.
She's so strong. She's like, she's got like condor arms. She's huge. Like she's tall, like taller than me. And she's got like massive, her arms are so long. And I'm just like tiny little short girl.
Yeah. We'll definitely be rooting for you. Brittany, I wanted to know, usually whenever I have somebody that's also paralyzed or has had a spinal cord injury on the podcast, I want to just kind of know about like your like everyday kind of training regimen, everyday, workouts. And I guess you're a little bit different as far as, I mean, because you don't have complete lack of mobility of your lower body. But is there anything like specific that you do even from just like a health and wellness standpoint, as far as like supplements or food or anything like that that you do that's different or special that you really rely on?
Yeah. So I try to stretch. I'm not the best at it because it is a little boring, but I try to make sure that I stretch because even though I don't have too much tone, whenever I do work out and stuff, my left side tends to stiffen up way more than my right side, even though my right side is doing the brunt of the work. So I get really tight on my left side, and it pulls all the way up into like the metal in my spine too, like all those muscles that are intermingled back there. Right. And then on top of that, I try to drink plenty of water. And then I just recently started taking, some pre and probiotic stuff. And it seems to be helping my stomach a lot too, because I do still struggle with some of that stuff. Like my intestines and whatnot are still somewhat paralyzed. So,
Yeah, no, that's definitely good advice. Good advice for sure. Well, yeah. I really appreciate you, taking the time out of your Sunday, Brittany, to come on and talk to me for a few minutes about, paraclimbing and just rock climbing in general. Like that's really an interesting sport to me, and I'm a super sports nerd, so I have something else to watch now. So the one other question I wanted to ask you though, with COVID and all this stuff going on, everything being shut down, is there any word on when you're going to be able to get back to competing as far as the U.S. competitions and all that stuff go?
So it doesn't seem like we were supposed to have nationals happen in March, and then that didn't happen. So and basically all of the major competitions have been canceled for this year, but they are doing this different type of thing where if there are gyms and you're in a close proximity to you that you can travel to, if they decide to establish like some of these routes as competition routes in their normal like gym setup, then you can go and climb them and like enter them into this app, and then that will qualify you for events next year. Supposedly, this is all brand new. This is not how this has worked at all. It's usually very structured, and like doing it virtually like this, where you're kind of using the honor system, it feels very cheaty, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. you just have to be on the honor code, I guess. That's
yeah,
that's a little more, that's very strange. But yeah, well, hopefully we're definitely rooting you on. We'll
thank you.
Yeah, maybe we can link up again once you start competing again next year, and we'll definitely, you know, give updates and whatnot on the podcast here.
Yeah, I'd love that. And I mean, if you want to, if you're interested in learning more about the paraclimbing stuff, there's a bunch of YouTube videos. You can just type in like IFSC paraclimbing and you could watch like a bunch of different competitions.
Okay, cool. I will link that on the podcast description. And I'll also put in there like your social media link so people can reach out if they have any questions for you or anything like that.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brittany. I really had a great time talking to you and getting to know a little bit more about the climbing and just kind of your story. It was very interesting.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. That was Brittany Davis. Appreciate her time on the podcast. That was a fun interview, man, because I'm pretty sure I explained on the interview. We didn't just listen to it, obviously, but
yeah.
I told her I didn't even know that was a sport. So, or, you know, like,
yeah, I think
paraclimbers anyway.
It's cool, man. All the things that people continue to do or the niches that they find after being injured. And there's so many.
Yeah, exactly. And she wasn't like really doing it competitively before her injury. But she just loved, like, she was addicted to it, you know?
Yeah.
So she really liked it. And that's very cool, man. I applaud her. My hat's off.
Yeah. I mean, you're like a professional podcaster now. So it's like, it's kind of the same thing.
Almost,
just kind of putting all your eggs in one basket, man. That's, just go for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what she did. That's
no, awesome. That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, I still don't know which character that was from.
I don't want to speculate, man.
Oh man,
I don't want to do that to you, but I'm pretty sure I know, and I'm pretty sure
it's I don't know. I don't feel like I look like that dude though.
I don't think so either, man. These people are just fucking haters, bro.
Oh man,
people are gonna hate. Haters are gonna hate, man.
Brittany, you need to check your Twitch community.
Yeah, nah, hey man.
Just kidding, but it's all in fun.
Hey, no publicity is bad publicity.
True. Very true.
You know?
Very true. But, yeah, man, what's up with the hamstring, Brandon?
Oh, are you for real, man? Dang, that's been a while.
I know.
If anybody actually cares, I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. I'm probably, good. Like, 95%. And I'm back to almost pain-free running.
What do you attribute the pain?
I went on a journey. Physical journey, and this was like about 3 years in the making, and I think what really put me over the top was some stuff that was going on in my hip flexor, and with some massage, some chiropractic work, and some, like, I don't even know how you would say it, like just like fascia manipulation almost. Like, I had done that before, but they ripped on my hip flexor and it just freed so much stuff up. And then I've been doing a lot of strength training too, a lot of that. And so just don't give up. I know this is like just stupid to say in this setting almost, man.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so insignificant, but there's people that live in chronic pain too, man. That can be just as debilitating, and I'm not saying mine was,
right?
But I think a lot of times people just feel defeated that there's no end in sight. Am I going to be like this forever? But the answer is you don't have to be. No,
right? You just got to keep working, man.
You got to keep working,
keep, like, pushing.
We know that Jeremy's not going to be in a wheelchair forever, and we refuse to take that as fact. That he's going to be in a wheelchair forever.
Right.
And that's just the mentality we're going to have.
I just heard, this morning I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast with, David Blaine was on.
I watched a little snippet.
And, he was talking about how he figured out, like, how he could basically shut his body down to hold his breath for a long time, but like he had to concentrate on it for so long, or like to stay like encased in ice for a week or whatever, you know, he does all this crazy stuff. And it's basically, he was talking about a friend that he had that moved to Vegas when he was 12 years old and started throwing, like, got a craps table and just started throwing dice on a regular craps table every day for like 13 hours a day.
Yeah, for like a decade.
Yeah, and then he was the best dice, you know, he could
throw the dice how he wanted every time.
Yes.
Because he knew how, if you held them at a certain angle and right. at this trajectory and became muscle memory.
Right. And so
he could drop a number every time.
Right. And so then David Blaine said, I also heard of a quadriplegic or somebody who's paralyzed that just thought about moving their toe every day for like 13 hours a day. And finally, like, you're able to like wiggle your toe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just believe or like you put, like, your brain is crazy powerful.
It's the power of thought, man. And, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
I know Joe.
I would recommend people go listen to him.
That dude's from Yelm, man. He's like from down the road.
No shit.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, there's hard science behind the physics and of the power of thinking and being able to manipulate your outcomes and even your genetics, dude.
Right. That's the dude that made The Secret.
He's part of it.
Yeah, he was part of this.
Yeah, he's in it. Certainly, man. But the thing about it is a lot of people will say that's, you know, that's hocus pocus or that's witchcraft or whatever. Man. Like, it's just like it's snake oil. But there's literally, they have science, they have facts, they have evidence.
Yeah.
To back that, a lot of that stuff. So I would just recommend people just give it a listen, because I usually go off of science, man. That's just me. And physics is a different type of science and than we're, you know, what we usually talk about, you know, from right. like either medicine or I don't know what you would call research and development of like robotics. Even it's just they talk a lot about quantum physics, but dang, man, yeah. I believe it.
So yeah, I'm all in on that too, man. I want to get Dr. Joe Dispenza on this podcast. That would be amazing.
That would be. That dude. I didn't know he was amazing. From here.
Yeah, he's from. I know people used to. He was like a chiropractor or something in Yelm, Washington.
Gotcha.
Shout out Yelm.
Yelm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, man. This week too. This coming week, we have another in a long line of illustrious guests. We're getting a couple of doctors on from the Miami Project to Cure Paralysis, which is pretty cool. I've been
legendary.
Trying to get after them for a
legendary.
While. So yeah, we'll be
those
we'll,
guys are pioneers over there.
Yeah, so I'll be interviewing them.
They really put spinal cord research
it's true,
on the
yeah.
on Front Street, you know what I mean?
Right.
And made
right.
it made it more accessible. And,
it's true.
Just put in the work. So I can't wait to hear that, Jerry.
Yeah, it should be good, man. So we're doing that this week, or you know, a week from now we'll be posting that one. And I hope everybody enjoys the conversation with Brittany, and check her out. We'll be posting all of her social media links. She does some pretty amazing stuff, so I recommend everybody check her out, and we will talk to you next week.